your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition and continuing on with some comments on more of the broad market moves, taking a step back rather than looking at individual sectors. However, in this interview, we will be discussing some of the sectors and correlations that are a little bit confusing right now. I am chatting with Mike Larson. Mike writes the Safe Money Report over at the Weiss Ratings, and Mike has been a regular guest on our program and really outlining what's been going on, where money has been flowing in these broad markets very correctly over the last, few number of months since I've been having you on. And Mike, first I want to compare what's been going on with the bond market and the stock market. Stock market continuing to grind higher, coming up to some very near-term resistance as we are recording this. And the bond market, it kind of seems stuck ever since we started the year, even back to the tail end of this year. What are your comments on the relationship between the two?
Yeah, this has been one funny, abnormal, I don't know what kind of word you want to use to describe it, stock market rally. And I say that because, as you mentioned, it hasn't really been confirmed by other, you know, sectors within the market, for that matter, as well as other asset classes entirely. I mean, let's go back and look at the panic in the stock market right around Christmas week. You have the Dow that bottomed out right around 21,700, give or take. It was recently at almost 26,000. So, you know, you're talking about a move of more than 4,000 some odd points higher in the Dow off its lows. Obviously a very large magnitude move. Now let's go look at what the 10-year U.S. Treasury note yield has done. It bottomed out sort of into that panic area at around 2.56%. Earlier this week, it was trading at around 2.65%. So you're talking about a move, and just for comparison's sake, the high on the 10-year Treasury back at the end of 2018 was way up around 3.25%. So you're talking about less than a 10 basis point move higher in the benchmark U.S. 10-year Treasury note, and a 4,000 plus point move higher in the Dow. I mean, I don't want to say it's completely unprecedented, but certainly it doesn't fit with anything we've seen. Not just in this entire most of the last few years in this bull market. Or in other words, the action in the bond market isn't really confirming what's happening in stocks. You know, it's more than just that, too. If you look at, say, the VIX index, it's come down. It was around 14 earlier this week. Its lows were under 10, so we're not back to testing those lows in the VIX. And we're also not seeing things that are kind of measures of global growth, like the Baltic Freight Index, which is actually not or has really bounced hardly at all or not at all, even as you've seen equities and other things that tend to rise in tandem with it rally quite a bit. So a really interesting market when you look at those kinds of things going on. One market isn't really squaring with the other. And if I had to talk about even another market that's kind of out there in left field, so to speak, it's gold. I mean, you and I have talked for some time. I've been bullish on the metal for a number of months now and the gold miners. And again, that's not because I'm a gold bug. It's just because I like the attributes of gold in this environment. But one of my main reasons for investing in gold is sort of chaos insurance, insurance against the unknown, loss of faith in some of the economic growth outlook and central bank planning and so on. And so it's interesting that what we've seen happen is gold has continued to rip higher, even though some of the other things that previously were going up along with gold, such as volatility, have stopped doing so. So again, a lot of markets are sending out different signals, and the correlations that we've had for quite some time have been breaking down. And it raises questions about which market is right. I mean, do you, as an investor, say, well, bonds are right, so I don't want to chase stocks higher here because the bonds are telling you that this economy is going to be slowing, and then inflation pressures are leaking out and so on. Do you want to, you know, trust the gold market and say, gee, it's looking at the potential for volatility to really pick up here, so I don't want to take a lot of risk? Or do you look at the stock market and say, risk? Who's worried about risk? We're up 4,000 points. So it's kind of a weird situation to be in. Personally, what I'm telling our investors and what we're doing in the Safe Money Report is sort of a mixed bag. We have a couple broad market hedges, one of which we took half off into the waterfall sell-off in December. So we made, you know, a nice quick 20% plus on that, taking on a little bit of water on the remaining position. But that's okay because the types of stocks that have been rallying are also the defensive, higher yield, higher rated stuff that make up the remainder of the investments that we do hold in Safe Money Report. For example, there's a utility called AES Corporation. corporation that I recently recommended. They've been restructuring, getting out of a lot of dumb investments they made years ago in South America and a few other places in the world. Decent yield, been cutting debt and so on. That thing's up double-digit percentages in just the last month since we added it. You know, another company that we own, One Gas, ticker symbol OGS. I mean, this is, frankly, let's admit it, a boring company that does natural gas utility service in three different states in the Midwest, Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas. Again, not really a sexy story, but it's a stock that's consistently been rising. It's got a decent dividend yield there, better than the market. And it's just been, you know, slowly and but surely climbing higher here, and it's also a double-digit gainer. So the stuff we're still long, the defensive, more safe-type investments are doing just fine. So, you know, and again, the point of bringing that up, not just because our investors are happy with it, it's that that doesn't confirm that this is a full sort of full-fledged risk-on type market where everybody's just throwing caution to the wind. Because if that were the case, they'd be dumping the safe stuff, and they'd be buying FANG, and they'd be buying industrials, and they'd be buying all that stuff. But they're buying both, or they're, you know, they're not dumping the stuff that, that is sort of a hedge. So again, very odd environment. And I think that that just speaks to the changing nature of this market, and that you don't want to be going all in anymore like you might have between, you know, or in the few years after the election when everything was pointed higher.
So you bring up a lot of good points where you can make the argument for risk on assets that have been moving higher, that that might continue, or these risk off assets that have been moving higher, that that could continue. But we can't expect that we're going to be in a long-term situation where everything is rising, unless, who knows, we're in just a completely different market and there's a lot more liquidity than anybody ever thought. What key maybe breakouts or breakdowns are you going to be watching to confirm one bullish case over the other?
Well, let's look at it this way. I was kind of expecting, you know, expecting a rally from deeply oversold territory in December, and my upside target for the S&P was in the mid to high 2600s. You know, we're about 100 points above that, but obviously that was after traveling 350 some odd points from the low. So I started pulling back, not chasing, whatever you want to call it, this market bounce once we got into that zone. So, you know, I captured, or my view captured multiple percentage points, but maybe not the last couple. Now we're kind of in this stall zone, just under 2800 in the S&P, that I think is very important, and, you know, corresponds to roughly 26,000 on the Dow. You know, I'm very, very intrigued to see if we get any confirmation whatsoever from the bond market that the stocks are right, or if the stock market is just trading in rarefied air here. I actually this week took off a small cap position that I have in a different service, but this thing was down double digits as a result of the sell-off last year, and it surged more than 42% just since the first of the year. I mean, let's be frank, that's nuts. As much as I might like this company's long-term story, you know, it's a small cap that kind of got swept up in this bounce and was up 42%. I said, to heck with it. Let's take the profit. You know, we went from a double-digit loss to a solid single-digit gain, you know, bank that basically. And my idea in doing that is I think this rally has carried us about as far as it can, you know, on this talk of China trade concessions and this, you know, this idea that the Fed's moved to neutral and so on. So I just want to take the money and run and now reevaluate. I think that's what we have to do here, you know, see where things are going next. The stuff I would still buy or still recommend, again, is defensive type things, not financials, not materials. It would be things like gold, gold miners, higher yield, defensive type names, utilities, consumer staples, select REITs. I mean, all that, those types of investments I've been pushing all year that have been working very well for investors, I don't see any reason to change that. The only thing that would change my view is if some, you know, something were to come along and change the economic cycle, which I just don't think is possible at this point. We've had a credit exhaustion. We've seen the credit cycle begin to turn where lenders are beginning to pull back in terms of their willingness to make consumer and business loans. We've seen corporate spreads start to widen out, indicating, you know, more fear about defaults. And even with the big stock market rally, you know, we've seen those spreads come in a little bit, but nothing like that gets us back to sort of that ridiculous risk-loving situation we were in about a year ago. So, yeah, I still want to be somewhat defensive, carry more higher cash levels, invest in sectors and investments that can do well even in a tougher economy. And nothing that, you know, I've seen in the stock market changes that. The only thing, like I said, that would change my view entirely is if the bond market starts confirming that, you know, the worst of the slowdown's behind us. And I just don't think that's going to happen, especially not, you know, essentially a decade into a bull market and, you know, the longest economic expansion in U.S. history.
Yeah, one more quick point just to wrap it up on. If you are thinking and if you are playing that side of at least holding a bigger cash position, seeing how some of these things play out, plus also seeing the struggles that could very well be ahead for the U.S. economy and the U.S. markets, does that support a strong dollar or at least a dollar maintaining in the mid to high 90s?
I think the issue with the dollar here really is that the foreign economies, whether you're talking about China that's been slowing, whether you're talking about Europe that, you know, you're on, in recession in Italy and on the verge of it in some of the core European countries, you know, things aren't great in the U.S., and I do think that the economy is going to be decelerating, but I think things in many other parts of the world are even worse. So it's kind of a situation where, you know, it's a whole least dirty shirt type theory with the dollar. You know, your choices are the dollar or something else, and unfortunately, the something else, currencies aren't really all that attractive. So I think, you know, I think that gold is a great alternative in that situation. And I also think that it's worth pointing out that gold and the dollar have generally been going up at the same time. I tended to characterize that as being part of this volatility play, and I don't see any reason to kind of change that approach. I mean, I've been long gold, and you know, in terms of recommendations in the portfolio, and I've also been saying, you know, there's no reason to short the dollar here either. And I think both viewpoints have tended to play out. So I think if anything, we're likely to see that continue. And if anything, the kind of sort of odd man out is volatility here.
All right. Hey, Mike, always great having you on the show. If anybody wants to follow along with Mike, you can do that on Twitter as well, @RealMikeLarson. It's a value having you on the show, Mike. I really appreciate that level-headed approach that you take to a wide range of sectors. Mike, have a great rest of your weekend, and everybody stick around. I'm going to be right back, and we are going to be focusing a little bit more on the precious metal sector. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.